Of the several hundred men and women working for the second Mars expedition on Tarawa, Connors was one of only five who knew that the nuclear power generator had been sabotaged. He had no intention of letting that number grow to six. "So you'll be able to launch on Monday?"
"Looks that way," he said, nodding.
"Even if it's a few days later, that's no sweat. And the flight itself will take 5 months to reach Mars."
"Right. They'll land just about 3 weeks before the original eight are scheduled to leave Mars."
"What about the scientists?" the woman asked. "How are they handling this delay?"
"They're impatient to get going, of course," Connors admitted. Then he spread his hands out to sweep the beach, the lagoon, the breathtaking sky. "But waiting another week here isn't exactly breaking their hearts." Both reporters laughed.
Night, Sol 375.
"Hi," Rodriguez said. "The A-team is ready to take over."
Without turning to face him, Stacy Dezhurova pointed to the digital clock readout on the main comm screen.
"You are early."
The clock read 0158. Trudy Hall said,
"I couldn't sleep."
Dezhurova looked up and cocked an eyebrow at her.
"You mean this oversexed oaf would not let you sleep?"
Rodriguez raised his hands.
"Hey, don't blame me. It wasn't my fault."
Wiley Craig got up slowly from the chair next to Stacy's.
"Well, I sure as hell can sleep. Hardly keep my eyes open."
"Go on," Rodriguez said. "We'll take over now." Jamie's idea that no one work alone had been eagerly endorsed by Dezhurova once she and Craig arrived at Dome 2. It slowed down everyone's work, but there had been no accidents over the past five sols. Dezhurova got up from her chair. It creaked noticeably.
"I hope that's the chair, not you," Craig wisecracked.
She tried to glare at him, but ended up grinning with the rest of them. She and Craig headed off to their cubicles, while Rodriguez sat at the comm console. "Keep an eye on them," he said softly over his shoulder to Trudy. "Make sure they go to their quarters." Jamie lay on his bunk, hands clenched behind his head, wide awake. "This expedition's turning into a fiasco," he thought. "Work's slowed down to a crawl because of this saboteur, whoever he is. Not that we were accomplishing all that much over the past month or two." He stared up into the dark shadows of the dome. Not even the sighing night wind calmed his troubled spirit. "Well, when the archaeologists get here, they can poke around the building and let us get back to our original tasks. There's a whole planet to study. God knows how many other cliff dwellings we'll find once we start actively searching for them." He heard footsteps padding slowly across the dome. Silently, Jamie got out of his bunk and went to the door of his cubicle. He had left it unlatched, closed almost completely, but unlatched so he could slide it open a crack without any noise. He saw Wiley Craig shuffling tiredly past, heading for his own cubicle. Stacy must already have turned in, he thought. Returning to his bunk, Jamie wished for the millionth time that VJ were here with him. "Not now," he commanded himself. "This is no time for that kind of thing. I've got to find out who the madman is. He's going to kill somebody if we don't catch him soon." The digital clock read 0309 as Rodriguez leaned back in the little wheeled chair and shut down the logistic inventory program. "We'll be okay until the resupply mission lands," he said, thinking aloud.
"Are they going to land here or at Dome 1?" Trudy asked.
She had a photomicrograph of one of the deep-dwelling bacteria on the screen in front of her.
"It's got to be here," he said. "No sense landing at 1. Nobody's there."
"I wonder how the garden's doing," Trudy mused, still looking at her screen.
Rodriguez shrugged. "Ought to be okay for a while. No bugs, no weeds, nothing to bother them. Stacy said she kept the battery power on so the heaters will keep them from freezing at night. If we get back there before the batteries go flat, the plants can make it." Trudy nodded. She could see the reflection of her own face in the display screen. Pale, drawn, worried.
"And the nutrient pumps, too."
To herself, her voice sounded small and weak, frightened.
"Yep, the pumps, too. But we gotta get back there and plug in the LAV power system with the fuel generator."
She looked over at him and smiled.
"Are you volunteering?"
Rodriguez grinned.
"Sure, why not?
Manual labor is an old family tradition.
Turning back to the screen, Trudy thought, No, I can't let you do that. It wouldn't be right.
Nearly half an hour later, she got to her feet and stretched.
I'm going to get some coffee. Want some?
Yeah, it'll help keep me awake.
Trudy walked swiftly, silently to the galley. She poured two mugs of hot coffee. Into one of them she dropped several of the sleeping pills that Vijay had given her when she complained about difficulty getting to sleep.
They're very mild, Vijay had said. If they don't do the job, let me know, and we'll try something else.
Trudy had tried the pills, and they had worked wonderfully. One little pill, and she slept dreamlessly. But how many will it take to make Tommy sleep? Three seemed to be the right amount. Sure enough, half an hour later, Rodriguez's eyes were glazing over.
Geez, he muttered thickly. I can't keep my eyes open.
It's all right, Trudy said gently. Take a few minutes' rest. I'll be okay by myself.
You're sure?
Certainly. If anything happens, I'll wake you.
Not supposed to. His words faded into a jaw-stretching yawn.
Sleep, darling,
Trudy coaxed softly.
Go to sleep.
Dex Trumbull woke from a troubled dream. He was 7 or 8 years old again, and begging his father to come and see him play a baseball game at the school playground. His father turned into a thunderstorm, terrifying bolts of lightning and sheets of cold, wind-whipped rain that swamped the field and flooded the school and carried all the cars in the parking lot down into a huge, swirling whirlpool that dragged Dex himself and all his teammates down, down into cold, wet darkness. He sprang up on his bunk, soaked with cold sweat.
Damn, I'm still scared of the old man.
For long moments he just sat on the bunk, listening to his heart thump inside him, waiting for his panting breath to return to normal. I'm going to end all that, he told himself. I'm going to stand up to him when I get back. I'm going to beat you at your own game, Pop. Yeah, he told himself. But first you've got to get through the night without pissing yourself. He tossed aside the sweaty royal sheet and got off the bunk. Pulling on the coveralls that lay draped over the desk chair, Dex padded barefoot out toward the nearer of the dome's two lavatories. It's not going to be easy, Dex told himself. Dad's going to fight me every inch of the way. He's furious over this Navajo business of Jamie's. Must have half the lawyers in North America trying to break their claim. As he left the lavatory, Dex saw Trudy Hall stepping out of the comm center. He put on a grin and waved to her. She seemed startled to see him. They both headed for the galley.
You're not supposed to be wandering around the dome, Hall scolded in a sibilant whisper.
Nature calls, Dex whispered back.
Well, do your business and get back to your quarters, then.
Surprised at the sharpness in her tone, Dex flipped her a mock salute. I've done my duty, Captain Bly, and I'm now returning to the foxhole. Trudy did not smile at him. Dex thought she looked more angry than amused. As he headed back toward his cubicle, he glanced through the open doorway of the comm center. Rodriguez seemed to be bent over the console, head resting on his folded arms. Son of a bitch, Dex thought. Tommy's taking a nap. No wonder Trudy's so stoked. She doesn't want anybody to know that her boyfriend's sleeping on the job. With her pulse thundering in her ears, Trudy watched Dex walk back to his cubicle and go inside. She stood rooted until she saw his accordion door slide shut and heard the faint click of his latch. Then she took in a deep, racking breath and headed for the garden. It would have been so simple if they'd kept the garden covered with a plastic dome as they had originally. Then all she'd have to do would be to puncture the plastic and let the subarctic Martian night air do its deadly work. But she herself had ruined all that when she punctured the garden's protective dome during the dust storm. Now the garden was shielded by solid walls of greenhouse glass. She couldn't break them down with anything less than one of the tractors, and even then it would take so long that they'd come out and stop her before she got the job finished. No, Trudy said to herself, fire is the thing to use. Fire purifies.
Fire will force them to see how fragile our existence is here.
how close to death we are with every breath we take. Fire will bring